I'm Jeff Nally. This is the morning edition of the Cromwell Ag Radio Network. It is a federal holiday today, but there's no shortage of things to talk about. Arlen Suderman of FC Stone is with us. Arlen, you and I haven't had a chance to cuss and discuss the Department of Agriculture's final figures for 2016. I would have to be of the mindset that maybe a little favor for soy and much is expected of the other two crops. Would I be close?
Yeah, I think so. Market reaction, I think, was biased by what was happening in the outside markets on Thursday. It certainly did reflect some positive sentiment for soybeans, and that's helped give a lift to some of the other markets since then. But overall, I wouldn't call this a bullish crop report at all. It was perhaps a little less bearish. It did narrow the margin for error for soybeans. We know demand is strong there. And so that's a positive. And, of course, it also shows the trade's bias that USDA will continue to do what it's done in many past years, and that is to ratchet down those ending stocks estimates as we get deeper into the marketing year.
I was caught at speeches twice last week, once in Vandalia, another in Effingham, saying here's what the Department of Agriculture didn't do. They didn't take the corn carry to 2.8 billion bushels, and they didn't take the soybean carry over 500 million. They didn't do that. They showed us an adequate supply, obviously, of corn and a greater supply of corn than we've seen in recent years, but it wasn't as much as some thought. And for soybeans, they were under the average trade guess and even smaller than the smallest trade guess, which, for me, I want to suggest buys us a little more time, maybe at these price levels, until the Brazilian and the Argentine crop are discovered.
Yeah, absolutely. And I referenced the tendency of USDA. If we look back at the January crop reports, we find that USDA's January estimate for soybean ending stocks proved to be too high in 18 of the last 21 years by an average of 80 million bushels. So if they just hold to that tendency that we've seen over the last couple of decades, the trade assumes, okay, that brings it down to 340 million. Then what if we lose a little bit more production because of excessive wetness in Argentina and some dryness and late maturing soybeans in Brazil? And all of a sudden, yes, we're going to be raising acreage in the Midwest this next year, but there's not much room for error in there if we have a weather problem during the Midwest growing season. So the funds like that. They like that opportunity for volatility. Now, I've got 89 million acres of soybeans for next year, up from 83.4 this last year. And as I put that into my balance sheet, because demand is so strong, those demand trends are so strong, and I take a look at it, yes, if we get a repeat of 2016's fantastic yield, we will grow stocks to burdensome levels over 700 million bushels. But if we go back to a repeat of where we were just a few years ago with a yield around 45 bushel, all of a sudden we're very tight and it takes high prices to ration that demand. So a wide range of possibilities, and as I said, the funds love that because that allows them to trade volatility. And as long as they're involved, that gives us some opportunities to get rallies that we can sell during the year, whether the event happens or not, like we've had the last couple of years. And I think that's given farmers some hope as we go forward.
Here's an unfair question. I realize it is, but it's one that farmers are asking themselves right now. Have we seen the downside of corn and soybean prices up until the 1st of April?
Oh, that's a very good question that I think is worth spending a little bit of time on. And my answer to that is that it really hinges on the Safrinha corn crop. Now, will we know that by April? We probably won't, but we will have a better idea on the weather pattern. And I think the trade's going to be particularly sensitive to that. If we see a pattern similar to last year starting to unfold across the Safrinha corn belt in Brazil, then I think there's going to be a lot more interest in buying corn and putting some more risk premium back in it by April. If we see a favorable growing season and crop conditions look good and the rains are coming sufficiently to keep those conditions in good order, I think that we see this market potentially go to a new low. We've seen already one estimate from a local advisor within, well respected at that too, within Brazil, calling for a 94.4 million metric ton corn crop in Brazil. USDA is currently about 8 million metric ton below that. If that private consultant is right, then I think we may have new lows ahead of us. On the other hand, if USDA is correct, then we've probably put the low behind us and we start to build some premium back in for our growing season.
Obviously, in front of the group of farmers, and these are all thinkers because they're looking at some crops still left in the bin. They're obviously purchasing inputs they're thinking about for the year ahead. So one of their questions to me was, how much longer do I have soybeans at $10 a bushel? And my statement was, until the weather is known or we get a better ideal of what weather is going to be. And I reason that extended weather models are 2 or 3 weeks in advance. So by the end of this month, by the 1st of February, we may have a pretty good handle on how Brazil is going to finish this thing up.
I would totally agree with that. Right now, I'd say that roughly half of Brazil's crop is no longer vulnerable to be affected by adverse weather. Overall, we're looking at over the next 10 days to 2 weeks that the conditions are looking favorable for the rains to continue on into late January, sufficient to keep crop conditions good. So by the time we get to early February, we should have a pretty good handle on the Brazilian crop, and that'll ease the focus in Argentina. And the temptation is to say, okay, then the risk is gone at that point. But keep in mind that it was after that point that we started to see the problems emerge in Argentina last year. And the problems, again, were excessive rain once the crop reached maturity. Will it happen that way this year? What's the chances of it happening back-to-back years? You'd have to say it's pretty low. Although I would say that right now, projecting based on sea surface temperature anomalies in the South Pacific, that forecasters do see this above trend moisture continuing throughout much of the growing season in Argentina.
If you're advising end users of corn or soy, is there any reason to get your bowels in an uproar and really be aggressive in the purchasing side of this market? Or are you advising the end user the same way as the farmer of give it some time?
On the end user, I think it would be just the opposite of what I'm telling the producer. We don't know that we're going to run into a significant weather risk, but the implications are significant if it does. So like the farmer, I'm saying be prepared and have your plan in place to sell the rallies incrementally. Each time we have a rally, sell a little bit more into it. The end user, conversely, I'd say each time we get a break in the market, we go down toward trend line support, for example, in a nearby contract, which is held now. We bounced off of it for a number of months in a row. Each time we get down to that level, I would add to my coverage. So it's just kind of the opposite of what I'm saying to the producer.
Okay, so we're in the 10-something range right now. The downside of that, does it have a 9 handle or an 8 handle by the time we get to April 1? If the USDA is right at 104 million metric tons of Brazilian soy?
Yeah, the assumption that the trade is making that Argentina is not 57 million metric ton, that it's closer to 54 million metric ton, offsetting the gains in Brazil. So that is what's being factored into the market. Upside resistance that the traders are watching now is 1070. The downside right now for the spot contract is just above the $10 mark. So we could very easily trade that range. But at this point, I expect the bottom of that range to hold until we have greater confidence in this market. Now, they're also going to be watching some of the information on the private surveys coming out on acreage, for example, and I'm going to go to an extreme to make a point here. If we'd see 10 or 12 million acres being added to soybeans, then I think we break through and we have a 9 on the handle. But if we're just looking at 4 to 5 million acre increase in acreage, then I think that 10 probably holds for the time being.
Arlen Suderman is with us this morning of FC Stone. There's still more markets to talk about. Stay tuned. That's next here on the Morning Edition on the Cromwell Ag Radio Network.